It's time for John Paul, the car doctor, on North Shore 1049. Call today with your car questions, comments, or concerns. 1-800-370-1049. That's 1-800-370-1049. John Paul, the car doctor.
Good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on North Shore 1049. My name is John Paul, the Car Doctor, here to help you with your car problems, help educate you maybe a little bit about what's going on in the automotive industry, keep you up to date on the latest automotive news, things like that. We have a great show planned for today. We're going to learn about electric cars, and then we may learn a little bit about what's going on out of Pebble Beach with Lincoln and another Detroit company who you may have never heard of called Shinola. And Shinola started off, I remember seeing them at the Detroit Auto Show. They actually were in an old subsidiary building of one of the car manufacturers in Detroit, and they started building watches. And it was sort of... It was sort of a way for that old building to come back to life. And I guess the big news this week is the New York Auto Show, which was supposed to take place in 2 weeks. The press preview was next week from this Thursday, I think. And they have decided to cancel the show because of COVID. And the same thing with the International Motorcycle Show that was going to take place at Javits. So just when you thought we were out of the woods, Biff, we're not out of the woods yet.
No, it sounds like we might be heading back in the woods.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it kind of does sound that way.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered buying an electric car? Have you ever thought that, you know, maybe they're a little too expensive? Well, with us is Anna Vanderspeck. She is the Electric Vehicle Program Director at the Green Energy Consumer Alliance, and she's going to help us through all of this. Anna, good morning, and welcome to the Car Doctor program.
Good morning, and thanks so much for having me.
Well, you know, I just read the other day that cars that use some form of electrification, so hybrids, plug-in hybrids, and battery electric cars, are up 159% over the past 2 years. So certainly between hybrids and plug-in hybrids and full battery cars, there is a lot of interest right now. But one of the things is price. And your group, the Green Energy Consumer Alliance, can help take a little bit of sting out of that, right?
We can indeed. So Green Energy Consumers is a nonprofit organization. We have an office in Boston and in Providence, but we work all across Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And we have a program called Drive Green, which on the one hand does a ton of consumer education around electric vehicles. So if you want to learn anything from charging to how the batteries work to what about road trips, you can learn about that on our website at greenenergyconsumers.org/drivegreen. But the second part of the program is that we have built up a network of dealers across the state who offer discounts on electric vehicles to folks who come through our program. So if you go to our website and fill out the sign-up form, you can learn about the different car models that are available, learn about the different prices, and then you can see real deals from local dealers and sign up to test drive with them right through our form. And that notifies them that you're a program participant, and then you get that discount in addition to the state rebate that's available in Massachusetts and the federal tax credit. So we're really trying to make these cars more accessible for more folks.
And it people get a little bit confused between rebates and tax credits. A rebate is like real money back, and a tax credit is kind of based on your own tax bracket, right?
It is. So starting at the top, we have a federal tax credit for electric vehicles, and it's up to $7,500. And I say up to for two reasons. First, it matters what car you're purchasing. The bigger the car battery, basically, the bigger the rebate. So the all-electric vehicles generally get the full $7,500. But plug-in hybrids that have a smaller battery and then a backup gas tank qualify for a slightly smaller federal tax credit. And it also depends on what manufacturer you purchase. Basically, that tax credit was set up to jumpstart the industry and then kind of fade into the background once manufacturers had really gotten a hold of things. And so once a manufacturer has sold 200,000 units in the United States, that fades away. So far that's happened for Tesla and General Motors. But then the second part that you have to pay attention to is your personal tax liability. So if you don't owe $7,500 in federal taxes, the IRS will unfortunately not write you a check, and you can't carry over the federal tax credit from one year to the next. Two pieces of good news on this front. One is you can get around this by leasing, and lots of folks are leasing electric vehicles who would have otherwise never really considered leasing a car, both because of this federal tax credit issue and because the technology is moving so fast. But when you lease, the federal tax credit basically goes to the leasing agent, and most of the dealers and manufacturers roll that value into lower monthly payments, so you can kind of capture the value that way. The second piece of good news is that the Biden administration is trying to make this a federal tax credit better. We'll see what happens, but it could be that they extend the cap or make it point of sale. There's lots of ideas up in the air in Washington, and we'll see what happens. But the state rebate, which is called More EV, is a check in the mail. If you purchase an electric vehicle, or if you lease one for 36 months, you fill out an application online, and the state will send you a check in the mail. $2,500 for a full battery electric vehicle, as long as the sales price is under $50,000, and then $1,500 for a plug-in hybrid. So you can stack those incentives on top of each other.
And I was just looking at your website, and if you are a Costco member, there's another $1,000 on top of that, right?
Yeah, Costco is trying to get into the car game, and what's exciting is that they are paying attention to electric vehicles. So particularly with Chevy, they've got an extra $1,000 off the 2022 Bolt and the Bolt EUV, which is basically a slightly larger Chevy Bolt. It's an SUV. And if you can manage to find a 2020 or 2021 Bolt still, that Costco incentive is up to $3,000. But that's really exciting to see that they're seeing the value in these cars as well.
And unfortunately, I guess in the category of day late and a dollar short, there was previously a really, really rich incentive on the Bolt, right? Wasn't it like another $10,000 or something?
Yeah, so the dealers in our network post whatever deal they can manage every month, and they know that they're competing with each other on our website. Historically, we've been running this program for almost 5 years now, and the discounts vary a lot depending on the dealer and the car and what time of year and if they're trying to move inventory or not. The Chevy Bolt did for a while have discounts well over like $15,000, but that was when they were trying to get rid of the last model year, and now the new model year has arrived. But there's still good discounts out there, and you can check the page and just kind of keep a lookout. And in the meantime, you can learn a lot about the different cars, but it's still generally a couple $1,000s on top of that state rebate and the federal tax credit.
Yeah, it really is. And for people that wanted to buy the new Chevy Bolt, I believe even in the base model now, they're equipped with level 3, the high speed charging, which makes life a little bit easier and a little bit quicker for people.
Yeah, that's actually, it's interesting to see a couple different manufacturers are starting to make that DC fast charging a standard option. And for those who aren't familiar with this, this is the super high power charging that you see at rest stops along the highway and that you basically use for long road trips. It's you can basically fill 80% of your battery in a half hour pit stop. So that's a good idea to get if you make long trips, and I think manufacturers are starting to see that that's what consumers expect.
Mm. And did I hallucinate this, which is entirely possible because I think I do once in a while? did I see that Tesla has some plans to open up their charging stations to everyone?
Yes, you did, and I will believe it when I see it. I think it's really promising. So, for those who don't know, Tesla has a really, really robust charging network all across the country, but up until this point, it has been proprietary, so you can only use that charging network if you drive a Tesla vehicle. And recently, there have been some articles out there that they are planning on selling an adapter, that if you drive a non-Tesla vehicle, you can basically stick this thing onto your charging cord and use one of their charging stations. I think that would be great. Because they do have a really robust charging network, and I think It would enable more people to go electric, but I will wait to see the details because you never know.
You never know, right? And it does actually make a lot of sense because when any time I've gone by a Tesla charging station, they look like they're only about a third full. So might as well take advantage of the extra capacity and allow other people to charge up. It kind of just makes sense.
I think so, too.
Yeah, no, it really does. And, you know, while we're talking about charging, you know, a lot of people have concerns about running out of electricity. And I read a quote the other day. Now, it was from a, I think it was from a European charging network provider or something. And it said something like the only people that are concerned about running out of electricity with electric cars are people that don't have them. Because most people, I was talking to somebody the other day from the AAA club out in Washington State, and they said they tow, or now, and they have portable charging they're starting as well, about 4 electric cars per month. They actually do far more bicycle service than they do helping out people with electric cars that have run out of electricity. And that Portland area is a big hub for electric vehicles. So it really is true. Electric vehicle owners do a really good job about not running out of electricity, right?
Yeah, and it's because the manufacturers know that that is the number one fear. So the manufacturers have put a ton of work into making sure that the battery management system in these vehicles is really sophisticated. So if you're driving one of these cars, on the dashboard, it'll tell you at any time how many miles you have left in your vehicle's battery. And it'll give you a low estimate, a high estimate, and a medium estimate. And that estimate is taking into account things like how aggressively you drive. If the car has learned that you really step on the accelerator and then brake really hard and waste a lot of energy that way, it'll adjust that estimate down. But if it knows that the weather is really nice and the battery is happy because it likes that temperature range, it'll adjust it up. It'll respond when you turn on the air conditioning or turn on the heat. So you always know how many miles you have left. And one anecdote that I like is we host lots of events where folks who have electric cars can talk to folks who don't have them yet. And people can ask these questions of real life drivers. And in a recent coffee hour, someone asked, have you ever run out of electricity? And only one person had, and he basically admitted he tried. He tried really hard to see what would happen. Could he run out of electricity? And he really had to try really hard to do that. He was definitely an early adopter who was just having fun. But basically, people don't because they can see at all times how much mileage they have left. And because most of the vehicles that are available on the market today have much more than 200 miles per range, per charge, sorry, and most of us don't drive more than 50 miles a day. So these cars really do work for lots of folks.
And I asked that question, too. So it was me. I'll admit it. It was me.
It was you. I didn't know. Yeah. Well.
Because I was just curious, because I was interested, because that is what I always assumed, and for people who know me, I've always been sort of interested in electric cars. I had an old one a long, long time ago, and I worked with the folks up in Woburn or Wilmington, the Solectria folks, when they were building the Solectria Force years ago, and you know, I've kind of watched some of the progression, and even some of the little cars like the GEM Electrics that had. So I've always had sort of this kind of innate interest in electric vehicles. And now, the last electric vehicle I drove, which was the Hyundai Kona Electric, I was so impressed with that because it was a car that for 99% of the time that I drive, and maybe 99.5% of the time I drive, it could take the place of anything I would do. It had, you know, I had this range of about 250 miles. Even in the wintertime, the range didn't drop that much. And we did some electric vehicle testing with Tesla, and we saw that range with the Tesla would drop sometimes almost a third. But I drove the Kona right around December, and it was pretty chilly December and January, and it still held its range at over 200 miles. So it did really well, and it had really good performance, like all electric cars do. And it was a nice, comfortable car to drive. It was quite nice.
Yeah, the Kona has definitely been one of the more popular cars in the program, largely because it's larger and people are really going for SUVs these days. But to give people a sense of how these cars compare to gas-powered cars, so this is an SUV. It's a comfortable, it's a large car.
Yep.
And the miles per gallon equivalent, which is basically how you compare the efficiency of the car apples to apples with gas-powered cars, is 120 miles per gallon. That's the equivalent. That's how efficient this vehicle is at turning energy into motion. And that translates into lower fuel costs for the folks who are driving it, too. So there's lots more options out there, and they can be really economical in terms of operations.
Now, one question that tends to come up, you know, when people who, we'll call them the somewhat skeptics of the world, is there enough electricity to charge up electric cars? Can the grid sustain it? And, you know, if you look at, you know, kind of across the country, I think out in California where they were asking people to turn their air conditioners off and things because of electrical concerns. I guess, A, is there enough electricity? And B, can electric cars actually help put electricity back into the grid when there is high demand?
Yes. So this is a really exciting part of the electric vehicle world. So to answer your first question, yes, there is enough electricity, and our electric utilities in Massachusetts are actively planning for the arrival of more electric vehicles. They actually just submitted to the Department of Public Utilities big electric vehicle related dockets where they're really outlining what role they think they should play in this transition. So they are all over it. The good news about electric vehicles is that people tend to plug them in when demand on the electric grid is low. So most folks right now charge overnight, and at night, very few of us are watching TV or running washing machines and dryers and all these things. So demand at night is low. So electric vehicles are actually a great way to soak up the electricity that's being generated at that time. There's lots of different tools that you can use, or we as a society can use, to manage electric vehicle charging so that it happens at a time that's best for the grid and also best for drivers. So there's different ways of sending price signals through time-varying rates, or even doing automatic demand response programs to make sure that electric vehicles are charging when demand is low, and actually smoothing out the sort of daily ups and downs on the demand profile on our electric grid, which actually makes our whole grid run more efficiently. The second question that you, or the sort of extension of that, is can we get to a point where electric vehicles put electricity back onto the grid? So basically they could charge up at night when hopefully all this offshore wind that's coming is generating a lot of electricity. They can basically soak that up and then discharge it back into the grid when demand is high, so that we don't have to turn on more power plants. There's a lot of movement in this space, a lot of pilots happening all across the country. I think we're still a couple years away from that becoming a reality, but I think that's where everybody's headed, because that would be a really great way to capture some of the value of having that giant battery for drivers. They could be compensated basically for putting electricity back into the grid, and it would also again smooth out demand and supply on the grid, which is good for all of us. I'm particularly excited about some pilots that are happening with electric school buses, because electric school buses are great. They don't run on diesel, so that we're not poisoning kids on the way to school. But they also tend to not do a whole lot in the summer months when demand is generally high. So finding a way to use those big giant batteries to smooth out demand and supply on the grid, there are a couple of pilots across the country, and that's particularly exciting to me.
Yeah, it really is, and especially you mentioned school buses. You know, school buses work for, you know, an hour or two in the morning and an hour or two in the afternoon, and they just sort of sit the rest of the time. So while they're sitting and recharging, and think of the, you know, even think of as we're looking at solar recharging more and more, you know, top of a school bus, big flat area that you could put solar panels on. So you could even add to it that way. So you're right, there is a lot of excitement. If people have more questions and want to learn more, where do they go?
They go to greenenergyconsumers.org. If they want to get to the electric vehicles, put a flash drive green at the end, but we've also got tons of information about renewable energy, energy efficiency, solar, wind, all sorts of stuff. But greenenergyconsumers.org.
And you can even help people find the cheapest heating oil for wintertime, right?
We can. We've got a heating oil buyers co-op, basically, that is actually how the organization started. And we can match you with a local heating oil dealer and get you better oil prices in the winter.
There you go. Hey, Anna, I want to thank you for joining us on the Car Doctor program and spreading the word about electric vehicles.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great day.
You as well. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
That was Anna Vanderspeck from Green Energy Consumer Alliance. Their website, again, is greenenergyconsumers.org. And, you know, click around. There's a lot of good educational stuff. And if you're kind of on that fence about buying an electric vehicle, join one of their coffee hour things one day and listen to, they have this whole network of EV owners kind of across the country that have shared some of their experiences and talked about leasing versus buying. I know I found out more about that than I knew before. And, you know, for, again, people that are concerned about, you know, are you going to run out of electricity when you drive? Most people, because they get in the habit of just charging up every night when they come home, they're able to accommodate that. And even if you live in the city, we'll have to see how the it wasn't that long ago we had Josh on from Spark Charge, the CEO of Spark Charge. They're the ones that got the $1 million Shark Tank money to further build their company. So we'll have to see that. And as far as AAA goes, our new portable level 2 chargers are on the way, is from what I understand. We ordered a bunch of them, and we're going to deploy them here and there throughout our area to see what we can do with them and see how they work. So, and they're, you know, they're, we would ideally like to be able to, you know, buy something like a Ford F-150 Lightning pickup truck that's all electric and be able to use that big battery in the electric truck to charge up an electric car, but we're not quite there yet. So right now we're still going to go out in a gasoline or diesel, probably a gasoline car, or a gasoline truck, and go out and fire up a gasoline generator, but still be able to charge up an electric car. So you don't have to worry about getting it towed somewhere. And, you know, if your family's in a vehicle, you know, just sit with you for 20 minutes, charge it up, and you're out and ready to go. Hey, before we take a break, with us on the phone is Jen Engel. She's the brand manager for the Lincoln Aviator. Jen, thanks for joining us on the Car Doctor program. Can you tell us how two Detroit brands are working together to build something special for Lincoln?
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me, John Paul. So this week we revealed the Lincoln Aviator Shinola concept. So basically we brought two companies that have Detroit roots, obviously very American, iconic brands together, to create a one-of-a-kind vehicle. So our designers over at Lincoln, they were able to explore the Shinola showroom, and they were influenced by some of those Shinola craftsmanship and leather goods and timepieces in order to create something totally brand new, very exciting.
And for people that don't know Shinola, and I didn't know they were quite as varied a manufacturer as they are, I remember meeting the folks from Shinola at the Detroit Auto Show a bunch of years ago, and they were watch manufacturers, but they've expanded into everything from leather goods to bicycles, right?
Yeah, exactly. So they did start off with watches. So they have these very beautiful analog watches. No smart watches there. And to your point, they have expanded into other categories. So leather goods, I think, are very important, as well as those bicycles.
And the leather products they use, I remember talking to the folks from Shinola, and it wasn't just the leather, it wasn't just the texture, it was everything about it. It was the aroma, it was a kind of sensory experience when they were talking about the products. Is that where you went with the Lincoln Aviator?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this concept vehicle really appeals to all senses. So the smell of that leather, the soft feel, it's really just a wonderful sort of warm and humanly crafted experience, which is what Lincoln is all about. So it made perfect sense for us to collaborate with them.
Now, many times a concept means a car that or a vehicle that is very futuristic. It has elements in it that you may see in the future, but you may never see the car. But this is a pretty traditional Lincoln Aviator, right?
It is pretty traditional. So we took, you know, of course, the same bones of the Aviator that you see on the road today. But we experimented a little bit with the exterior. So we have this beautiful white that has this mother of pearl hue that was inspired by the mother of pearl dials as part of the Shinola timepiece. We took the copper accents that you see on their bicycle and decked out our grill and our wheels and other exterior features, as well as interior features in that copper. So yeah, absolutely.
And some pretty exciting news. The car itself is going to a pretty famous car show, right?
Yes. So the vehicle will be on display at Pebble Beach. So in concert with the Monterey Auto Show. So we're really excited to reveal it there. And the team is already working on future ideas to have this vehicle on display. So maybe it'll be in your neighborhood, but for now we are very focused on Pebble Beach.
Well, and Pebble Beach certainly is a place where the best of the best get to showcase their products. And it sounds like working from Michigan, looking at Lincoln and Ford Motor Company's background, and then combining with a company that realistically didn't exist that many years ago, but sort of came out of, if you will, the ashes of Detroit, and how you're working together to really highlight both brands is pretty amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, again, both of our brands have such a commitment to craftsmanship and to creativity and artistry. And so it was really such a privilege and pleasure to be able to work with them.
Well, it sounds like the Lincoln Aviator Shinola brand edition sounds like quite a vehicle. And hopefully we get to see some pictures of it when it's out at Pebble Beach.
Absolutely. And if you want to see pictures today, there are lots of media write-ups about it. I encourage you guys to just go on Google and you can see photos of this vehicle yourself.
And if people want to learn more about the Lincoln brand in general, how can they do that?
Encourage them to follow us on our social channels. So our handle is at Lincoln on Instagram. You can follow us on Facebook as well, or you can visit our website at Lincoln.com.
And want to learn more about Shinola? Just start by Googling Shinola watches, maybe?
Yeah, for sure. So their handle on social is at Shinola, and Google is always a good place to start as well.
Well, Jen, I want to thank you for taking a little time out of your day, and I hope you are the one who gets to go to Pebble Beach and enjoy everything that has to do with Pebble Beach.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Why don't we take a break and pay some bills? My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. You're listening on North Shore 104.9. Our phone number is 800-370-1049. We'll be right back. Beep, beep.
From North Shore 104.9, and I have to tell you about my favorite spot on Hampton Beach. You can eat, drink, and sleep right next to the ocean. At McGurk's Ocean View Hotel and Restaurant, this is the premier spot to stay on Hampton Beach. Enjoy live music entertainment daily with beachfront dining for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Check out their post-date cabana bar for a cocktail and that island feel right after a cool swim or a fun day on Hampton Beach. McGurk's Ocean View Hotel makes the perfect vacation spot for you and your family. Check them out online at McGurk'sOceanView.com.
count on AAA to protect every piece of your life. AAA has the coverage you need, including 24/7 roadside assistance from trusted AAA technicians in any car you're driving or riding in. Plus, members get great rates on insurance, exciting discounts at hundreds of your favorite brands, travel savings, and much more. All with the peace of mind knowing that AAA has you covered, both on and off the road. Visit AAA.com/join. That's AAA. AAA.com/join. Danvers, the Backyard Butchers are here with 29 ribeyes for $39. That's less than $2 a steak. Look for the big white truck in the parking lot at Liberty Tree Mall near Total Wine. Stock up and save on bulk meat specials on ribeyes, T-bones, chicken, and crab legs. Just look for the big white truck at Liberty Tree Mall near Total Wine and get 20 ribeyes for $39 plus more bulk meat deals. Read more than 300 reviews, chat with the butchers online, and get info and locations at BackyardButchers.com. BackyardButchers.com. Cash, credit, debit, and EB. BT accepted.
Thinking about a new job or a change in your career? Why not work where you can make a difference every day? Elder Services of the Merrimack Valley and North Shore is hiring, and it's a great time to join their innovative, passionate team. Their mission is to help meet people's needs as they age and live safe, healthy lives. They're hiring social workers, case managers, administrative professionals, and more. Come work where employees from diverse backgrounds can grow professionally and have a great work-life balance. Learn more at esmv.org. And search careers.
Lena's Subs, located inside of Agway of Danvers, is the North Shore's home of the amazing tuna sub. Lena's Sub Shop is the North Shore's hidden sandwich gem, perfecting the meatball and sausage subs in addition to their famous fresh egg salad subs. Open every day Tuesday through Saturday starting at 11 a.m., Lena's is local. They excel in fresh. Their subs are made to order, and Lena's is so convenient for a grab and go. Visit Lena's at Agway of Danvers, 9 Wenham Street, just off Route 35 in Danvers. You'll be glad you did. This Grill and Chill tip is brought to you by New Hampshire Liquor and Wine Outlet. When serving margaritas, follow the 3-to-1 ratio. 3 parts of tequila, 2 parts of orange liqueur, and 1 part of fresh lime juice. Prepare a rocks glass with a pink salt rim and always start with a high-quality tequila.
Do you have a cocktail recipe that's the hit of every party? Ever wondered if you have what it takes to earn the title Mixology Master? New Hampshire Liquor and Wine Outlet is turning to you during their 10th annual Summer Fun Tour to find the most inventive drinks ever. Enter your recipe to win some amazing prizes, like a trip to Napa Valley or a weekend distillery experience in Louisville. Cocktails will be judged on appearance, creativity, and taste. Learn more at nhsummerfun.com. We can't wait to see what you mix up. Please drink responsibly.
I'm gonna ride back to you.
Welcome back to the Car Doctor program on North Shore 104.9. And again, I want to thank Anna for joining us. Really interesting stuff. And I think, you know, more and more people I talk to, I don't know if they're quite ready yet to say, I want to buy an electric car, but I'm hearing more and more people thinking about it. And more vehicle manufacturers are all coming out with them. And, you know, maybe your next car might not be electric, but chances are the one after that may be. And even the used car market for electrics is really good, because with the exception of Tesla, and it's good or bad, I guess, with the exception of Tesla, electric cars don't hold their value that well. So you can get a 3-year-old electric car that's a really good deal, and better than, you know, right now with used car prices as high as they are, better than you would expect. So it does work out really well. And again, I have driven quite a few, and again, Tesla's the one that I haven't really driven. I've been in a couple, but I haven't really spent any time in them, where the Mustang Mach-E I was impressed with, the Chevrolet Bolt I was impressed with. I'm a little disappointed that they did away with the Chevrolet Volt, because that was actually, I actually liked that car. They called it an extended range electric car because they considered primarily electric with a gasoline engine that ran a generator. But it gave you that choice, and it gave you about 50 miles worth of electric driving. So it's pretty good. Our phone number, again, is 800-370-1049, 800-370-1049, if you would like to join us and chat about your car. I want to chat about the car that got me around last week. There was a time when Buick only sold sedans and station wagons. Remember, you know, Buick Wagons, Buick LeSabre, Buick, all kinds of big Buicks, and then the littler Buicks, the Regals and Centuries. Well, in 2021, Buick became only an SUV brand with Encore, Encore GX, Enclave, and the subject of our road test, the Envision. The five-passenger Envision is available in three trim levels. Preferred, Essence, and their top of the line, and I don't even know how to pronounce it, A-V-E-N-I-R, Evinir. I don't know. But it is the top of the line model. They all use the same engine. They all use the same 2-liter turbocharged 4-cylinder engine that develops 228 horsepower and a pretty beefy 258 foot-pounds of torque. The transmission is a 9-speed automatic with paddle shifters. All-wheel drive is optional. On the road, the Envision delivers a smooth, quiet ride. Buick, in my opinion, traded a bit of handling for improved ride quality. I thought the ride was really good. Overall, the Envision should make a very pleasant long-distance cruiser. The steering is fine, maybe a little bit numb, but again, Envision wasn't trying to make this Buick wasn't trying to make the Envision a sports sedan. The 228 horsepower engine and revised torque gives the engine a peppy feel when passing slower vehicles, or, you know, if you need to pass that tractor trailer out in the highway that's only going 50 miles an hour, does it with ease. Our test model was a front-wheel drive version of the Envision with the 9-speed transmission. I like the way it shifted. It seemed to match the engine really nicely. You know, as engines and transmissions have changed, sometimes they don't always match up with each other, especially with turbochargers. Turbochargers add another level of something you have to mix in to get everything to work right, and the onboard computers do a good job of matching that all up. Speaking of onboard computers, according to the onboard computer, I averaged a pretty respectable 28 miles per gallon. Not bad. I think EPA says 24 city, 31 highway. Safety is addressed with 9 standard safety features, including automatic emergency braking, pedestrian detection, rear cross-traffic alert, rear seat reminder, which seems to be in everything these days. All the new vehicles tell you to, you know, tell me I left Biff in the back seat, you know. Don't get out of the car and, you know, check in the back seat. Make sure you got Biff out.
And that happens so often in my real life.
Yeah.
Hey, John, when you get a break, I've got Tony from Boston who's got a question about air conditioners. So when you have a break, he's eager to ask. He seems like he needs an answer.
Yeah, because it's
hot. It's hot.
Yeah, it is. So let me just finish up here. You know,
absolutely.
The cabin of the Envision was nicely appointed, wide, comfortable seats. Overall, I think I would call it a near luxury vehicle. Maybe not quite as nice as an Audi Q5 or maybe a Lincoln Corsair, but step above what I was expecting. Instrument panel is driver centric, really friendly. 10-inch display screen. Overall, I found the controls all nicely positioned. With the exception of the shifter, it uses buttons rather than levers, which everyone is seeming to use these days. Maybe because I'm old and old dogs, new tricks, things, I kind of like a shift lever rather than buttons, but I'm also driving a car today that has buttons, so I don't know. The Envision has about 53 cubic feet of cargo storage behind the first row of seats. It drops down to about 25 with all the seats in use. The Envision by Buick is a very nice five-passenger SUV. The bodywork makes it one of the most attractive SUVs on the road. The ride quality is very good, as is the peaceful interior. The engine performance should satisfy just about everybody, as should the mileage. If you're looking for a five-passenger premium SUV without spending $50,000, the Envision by Buick should be on your shopping list. I do have a question for you, Biff.
All righty. I didn't realize I got questions, but go ahead.
Where do you think the Buick Envision is made?
Oh, boy.
Buick. Now, think Buick. Buick. American car. Buick.
Right.
Where is it made?
Would that be Detroit? No.
China.
China. Okay. Yep. There you go. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But that Detroit's in China. Well, it moved. I think it moved.
It was 94% of this Buick Envision was made in China, and it was assembled in China. And even the Americans or European sounding Continental tires were made in China.
Mm.
So it was sort of a surprise. Kind of caught me by surprise.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, I was thinking, hey, look at that American Buick. Oh, look, it's made in China. Let's talk to Tony. Let's see what's on Tony's mind.
Tony, you there, brother?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. What can we do for you? It sounds like it's hot and sticky, and you're trying to cool off.
Yeah, well, you got a 2003 Lincoln Town Car. Got just a little over 100,000 miles on it. And I want to replace the air compressor and the condenser. But I have another 2003 Lincoln Town Car that has a good air conditioner system. Now, do I have to go out and buy a brand new compressor and condenser, or can I swap it from this other car that has a good working system?
You can swap it over. I mean, you certainly can. The longer that it's exposed to the air, the more you have to worry about moisture contamination. There is a part called a receiver dryer. You might want to think about getting a new one of those. That's the almost call it the filter inside the system. People get junkyard air compressors all the time and put them in cars. So there's no reason why you can't do that. And as far as the what'd you say, the evaporator or the condenser? I forget.
Well, I was told at a car parts store that if you really want to do it right, you replace the air compressor with the condenser so it doesn't get contaminated air.
The condenser sits in front of the radiator. It can get abused by, gravel on the road and all that kind of stuff. But, once you disassemble it all and put it all back together, you're going to have to bring it someplace where they're going to have to put it under a vacuum so they suck it all, suck all the moisture out of it. And they'll leave it that way for, 35, 40 minutes. And then they'll shut it off and make sure there's no leaks. They'll see that it holds a vacuum. Then they'll fill it and see how it looks and add the proper amount of oil to the mix and you'll probably be okay. But you're not going to be able to just the one mistake you might do is you could say, hey, well, I'll just put all the pieces together and then I'll go buy a couple of cans of R134 at the local auto parts store and the fill valve, and I'll just fill it up. You really need to put it under a vacuum first. You need to make sure any of that moisture that's in that system is out of the system before you refill it.
Yeah, I watched that on YouTube, and they definitely explained that.
Yeah.
Get to evacuate the system, get all the moisture out.
Yep. Yeah, no, you do need to definitely do that. Because it takes out the moisture and it also takes out any contamination So it does make sense to do that. And like I said, the one thing I might want to change in this is the receiver dryer, only because that's that thing that looks like a little tall can.
Sits by the firewall.
Yeah. And you might want to change that only because it acts like it collects the moisture, but it also acts like a filter. So, if I was swapping stuff off, that might be something I'd want to do. And I think you can buy those aftermarket for, $20 to $35. So it would make sense to put one in. I've certainly seen, some of these kits that places like Rock Auto sell, and they'll sell you the air conditioner, compressor, the condenser, all the O-rings, and, all kinds of little extra parts for, and the oil. if the car uses an orifice tube, for instance, they'll sell you one of them too. And, you know, you put all, you know, that way you're doing a, you know, you buy all the parts and it's going to be, I don't know, $300 maybe if you bought all the aftermarket parts that way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have a car that sounds like the AC's good and the rest of it's not, so.
Yeah.
Why not try to save a little bit of money?
All right, another thing about the electric cars, talking over the fence, I was listening to another car show out of New Jersey, and says the fire departments aren't too happy when an electric car gets on fire, because a gas car, it only takes 500 gallons of water to put it out. An electric car gets on fire, it's going to take 25,000 gallons of water to get it out.
Well, so that, yeah, I mean,
that could be a little bump in the road.
Yeah, it could be, you know, and I'm hardly a firefighter, but I'm surprised when an electric car catches fire, they don't come out and just foam it, you know, like they do with the airplanes
I guess you have to be a fire department operation nearby that has the foam.
Yeah, I suppose Yeah, and maybe that's why when I see electric cars that do the on the rare occasion they do catch on fire, they just let them burn. Maybe that's all
they
do.
Exactly. Yeah. The fire department guy said that it takes 25,000 gallons of water to put it out.
That's a lot of water.
So imagine if that was a school bus on fire.
Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly something to, you know, these are all things to think about with electric cars and. I was talking to a guy, I can't remember his name, and he's one of these like billionaire, you know, owns a ton of different companies and all that sort of stuff. And he's developing a battery that's made out of a graphite based material. It's called graphene, and the stuff doesn't burn. So
yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
And there's also a company out of California that can take the lithium ion batteries or whatever will be the next generation battery, and they put it into a process where it becomes encased, and it makes it so it's not flammable. So the company's called Kulr, KULR, and their technology is actually used in the Mars rover. So, you know, there is stuff out there. Hey, we got to take another break, Tony. But good luck with the AC system. All right, take care.
Summer.
All right, you as well. Bye bye. We need to take another break, and remember, our program is brought to you in part by AAA, the people that have kept me around for... Someone told me the other day, I'm in my 37th year of working at AAA.
Wow, so, congratulations.
37 years, yeah. So if you want to come to work with me, oh, you better hurry. That's what I got to tell you, because I don't know how long I'm going to be working here still after 37 years. One of these days, they're going to find out, hey, you know, he's been here a long time.
They're going to find out about you.
Yeah, I know. They're going to, yeah. But, no, it's a great place to work, too. And, you know, if you're thinking about a change and, you know, even things like our 401k, there's no management fees anymore where, you know, everybody's 401k has some kind of management fees. Ours don't. The company assumes them. And I'm on a group called our Charitable Giving Committee. And in Massachusetts, we have donated almost $90,000 to different charities, everything from food banks to, a place that I know called Bridge Over Troubled Waters for troubled teens, all kinds of different stuff that AAA has allowed us to make the decisions and you know, give this money out, which is great to be part of. So, and again, we're there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. If your car breaks down, all you got to do is call 1-800-AAA-HELP. We need to take a break. We will be right back. If you would like to join us, our phone number is 800-370-1049. We'll be right back.
Enjoy a home tailgate party at Foster's Grill Store, your one-stop barbecue shop at 107 Eastern Ave in Gloucester. Foster's is great for all things grilling. Foster's sells, repairs, and delivers high-quality grills, including the Weber brand. Great prices with personalized service. Visit them Monday through Saturday from 9 to 5 for propane tank refills, pellets, charcoal, Weber gas, and charcoal grills, as well as the electric Weber Q for indoor grilling, Weber accessories, and more. Details at fostersgrill.com.
Hi, I'm Alan Gibley. At Gibley's Menswear, we shop the world for the finest brands, fabrics, and designs. Our goal is to make you look and feel your best with a team that has years of experience to help you find the perfect outfit for work and play. Our amazing tailors will fit that Italian suit, shorten sleeves on a shirt, or alter a pair of jeans for just the right fit. At Gibley's, our 11,000 square feet of floor space makes it safe and comfortable for you to shop. Gibley's Menswear. Come in once, you'll be a customer for life.
Gibley's annual tent sale, August 12th through August 15th.
Boston Vents, the British are coming, we need a defense. One by land, two by sea, all of this on our logo, and yes, it's free.
Boston Fence and Vinyl in Beverly is a proud sponsor of the Gloucester Blues Fest. Join them Saturday, August 14th at Stageport Park. Music starts at 11 a.m. Don't miss this world-class blues lineup featuring John Primer and The Real Deal, J.P. Soares and the Red Hots, King Solomon Hicks and the Cat Riggins, B.B. Stone and Jane Lee Hooker Band. Tickets at GloucesterBluesFestival.com.
And remember, one if by land, two if by sea, Paul Revere's on our logo and the estimate's free.
Have your morning coffee with me, Mark Friedman, host of Dollars and Cents, each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We'll start your day with financial advice in a language you can understand.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Rosenthal with you on this Saturday. Here is your North Shore 1049 forecast, serving the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley. It's another excellent beach day. We're talking hazy, hot, buggy weather, 85 to 90. Overnight, partly cloudy, warm and buggy near 70. Tomorrow, variable clouds. It'll be in low and mid-70s at the coast with a northeast wind, low and mid-80s while inland. There could be a scattering of showers and storms, but certainly not an all-day rain situation. And on Monday, sun clouds, warm and buggy weather. For the forecast, being brought to you by our good friends at the Berry Tavern in Danvers. The Berry Tavern is open every day for lunch and dinner. The Berry Tavern offers takeout, ordering, curbside pickup, and delivery through local delivery companies. So call the Berry Tavern, 978-777-2377. For local North Shore, 1049, I'm Mark Rosenthal.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program. Tony asked whether I was still writing for the Boston Globe. I think he might have said the Boston Herald, but no, the Boston Globe. And kind of. I don't write for the Globe very often because the Globe doesn't have that much automotive advertising right now, and that's what kind of supports the pages. But, yeah, you can find my column on Boston.com. It posts generally about every week. I send them one every week. I know the one that's up now has been up for about a week or so, but they tend to put a new one up all the time. Also, if you don't see it there, you can go to something called the Yankee Express, which is a little bi-weekly newspaper out of the let's call it west of 495 area. But if you look up Yankee Express online, you will find their newspaper, and you click on columnists, and you'll see me there. You'll also see me occasionally in the Quincy Sun, Bob Bosworth's paper. And also, for our New York listeners, every Friday in New York Newsday, there's my column runs in Newsday, and I believe it also runs online, too. But it's there. And also in other parts of New York, because of the Boston Herald, because of Mark Grosso and the Boston Herald, there are four or five other New York newspapers that also carry my column up in Saratoga, up in the Oneida area, Troy, up in those areas of New York, up that way. But I know we have a few people who listen online from New York who found out about my program with New York Newsday. In fact, what we ought to do one of these days, we'll let Biff weigh in on this. We ought to give away another AAA membership, but maybe we ought to do it. You know, we've given the memberships away to some of our listener family that has been with us for a very, very long time. And then we've given away a couple of AAA memberships to our new listener family, people that we've met through North Shore 104.9. Mm-hmm. And maybe we ought to give away a membership to somebody who we don't know, way outside of our listening area, listens online.
I like that. That's a great one. Yeah, let's let the people that are not real close to us maybe have a chance.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you. I'm going to make you the producer right now.
Okay.
So we have our good friend Frank from Medford on the phone. He's got an electric car question.
All right.
And we have another break to do. So how do you want to do this, John? Do you want to go start with Frank and maybe run with Frank, do the commercial break, come back to Frank, do the commercial break now, and then finish out with Frank? You tell me.
I think we should do the commercial break now.
Okay.
Frank there right on hold, and he can formulate his question. And then we don't have to rush Frank.
No, I think that's a good idea. So let's.
Why don't we take that other break, and we'll do that, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to Frank, and if, depending on Frank's question, maybe there's even time for your question. You can call us at 800-370-1049. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Rosenthal. Here is today's North Shore 1049 beach and boating forecast being brought to you by Aubuchon Hardware. For the Mariners today, south winds 10 to 15 knots, gust 20 knots. High tide coming up in Gloucester, 11:27 this morning. Seas 2 to 4 feet, visibility is 2 to 4 miles. Water temps in the 60s, weather at the beach, lots of sun, hot, buggy. It'll be in the 80s. Don't forget sunscreen. We have a tanning factor of a 10. That's my beach and boating forecast. I'm Mark Rosenthal.
Have you tried shopping with Aubuchon Hardware online?
Whether at home, on your boat, or at the beach, it's easy and convenient to order things you need right at hardwarestore.com.
Plus, when you order online for the first time, you'll save 10%, up to $10.
And who wouldn't like an extra 10 bucks in their pocket?
So the next time you need a few things, just visit hardwarestore.com, place your order, and choose in-store pickup or curbside.
It's easy.
Aubuchon Hardware will fix you right up.
Count on AAA to protect every piece of your life. AAA has the coverage you need, including 24/7 roadside assistance from trusted AAA technicians in any car you're driving or riding in. Plus, members get great rates on insurance, exciting discounts at hundreds of your favorite brands, travel savings, and much more. All with the peace of mind knowing that AAA has you covered, both on and off the road. Visit AAA.com/join. That's AAA. AAA.com/join.
Lena's Subs, located inside of Agway of Danvers, is the North Shore's home of the amazing tuna sub. Lena's Sub Shop is the North Shore's hidden sandwich gem, perfecting the meatball and sausage subs in addition to their famous fresh egg salad subs. Open every day Tuesday through Saturday starting at 11 a.m., Lena's is local. They excel at fresh. Their subs are made to order, and Lena's is so convenient for a grab and go. Visit Lena's at Agway of Danvers, 9 Wenham Street, just off Route 35 in Danvers. You'll be glad you did.
There has never been a better time to join the Lime Credit Union. My name is Ken Del Rossi, and as president and CEO, I would like to personally invite you to take advantage of all that a Lime has to offer. We have everything you need to reach your financial goals, including great rates on mortgages and auto loans, checking accounts with no monthly maintenance fees, and digital banking tools. To learn more, stop by one of our branches or visit us online at aligncu.com. Align Credit Union, connecting all your banking needs.
Insured by MSIC, federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Danvers, the Backyard Butchers are here with 29 ribeyes for $39. That's less than $2 a steak. Look for the big white truck in the parking lot at Liberty Tree Mall near Total Wine. Stock up and save on bulk meat specials on ribeyes, T-bones, chicken, and crab legs. Just look for the big white truck at Liberty Tree Mall near Total Wine and get 20 ribeyes for $39 plus more bulk meat deals. Read more than 300 reviews, chat with the butchers online, and get info and locations at backyardbutchers.com. Backyardbutchers.com. Cash, credit, debit, and EBT accepted.
I'm ready. Let's come back and finish up this hour here, and let's talk to Frank about some electric vehicle questions. Frank.
Morning, John Paul.
How are you?
I heard a report, last week on electric cars, and they were saying that 1 out of 5 turn in their electric vehicle for a gas-powered vehicle. They went back to gasoline engine. And they said the reason why was that the charging stations availability, and they said that plugging into your, I don't know if it's just, I don't know how they charge them at home, but they said that they weren't getting any charging overnight there enough to recharge the electric vehicle.
If you plug into a regular 110 volt outlet,
right,
and you drive a lot every day, say you drive 150 miles every day, it's going to take a long time to charge up the car. Now, if you have somebody come out and put a 240 volt electric outlet in, so, you know, think something like a dryer plug or something like that, and then you put a regular charging station on top of it, you can charge up in, you know, six hours or so. So you'll be fully charged every night. Somebody I know who has an electric car, they have a patience problem. They're not good at waiting, and they put a 60 amp service in out to their garage, and they said it charges up their Tesla in about 4.5 hours. So this guy does a lot of driving, and he charges up every night. And he says, I come in, I pull into the garage, I walk over, I plug the thing in, and he said, when I get up in the morning, it's all fully charged. It's got another 250 miles of range easily. And he said, you know, at the same time, when I plug my car in, I go plug my phone in, and, you know, he says it just gets to be habit. You know, nothing any different than that. So I'm sure there are people that, just like everything else, you know, they say, hey, I'm going to go buy an electric car, and it doesn't completely fit my needs. But I know we have a old time listener. She's been listening to our program for a long time. She has a Nissan Leaf, and it's the older one, so it only has about a 90 mile range, and she's been driving it for, you know, several years now, and she plugs it into just 110 volts all the time, and she's had good luck with it, as far as I know. So you know, it depends. You know, there is a little bit of that, but on the other hand, a lot of people like the idea of having to never go to a gas station, and the maintenance is less, because there's no oil changes. Brakes almost last forever; they almost never wear out. You know, other stuff wears out. You know, tie rod ends can wear out, ball joints can wear out, stuff like that. Batteries. When electric cars first came out, the electric car battery, now envision like many, 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 many batteries in an electric car. The batteries are like $1,000 a piece. Now the batteries are down to like $100 a piece. So the cost to replace a battery in an electric car now is getting to the point where it's about the same as, say, replacing a transmission in a car. So if you kept an electric car 10 years and you had to put a battery in it, you might have to spend $5,000 for a new battery. If you kept a car 10 years and you had to put a transmission in it, you'd probably spend, you know, $4,000 on a new transmission. So, and the more we see them, the more, you know, the more we'll see, you know, prices start to come down, and we'll also see more public charging. So, and the report is right. You know, people look at, you know, hey, I'm going to Stop and Shop, and, you know, wouldn't it be nice if they had a charging station there? And we're starting to see more of that, but they're limited right now. There's not a lot of them. All up and down like Route 95 heading down to Florida, there's, you know, hotels all have charging stations. There are charging stations at rest areas. I just read somewhere one of the big gasoline companies now is going to start putting charging stations in. Now, you know, if you can charge... You know, if you can charge 80%, even 50% of your battery in 20 minutes, so you go in to, you know, the equivalent of a Cumberland Farms, you know, go buy a coffee, you know, use the restroom, and you come out 20 minutes later and, you know, your car's good for another 150 miles, that wouldn't be so bad.
Oh, that's pretty good. You know, John, I was wondering, what is the cost per mile compared to gasoline to electric with the electricity rates around here? I mean, this state here, I think, is either third or fourth highest in the country.
Yeah, we're one of the highest. We're one of the highest, but still cheaper than gasoline. Like Anna said, you know, the electric equivalent is about 125 miles per gallon. So... you know, looking at that versus the cost of what you're going to pay, it's not that much. It's pretty reasonable. Hey, Frank, we got to get going. We're starting to run out of time. It's coming up to 11 o'clock, and our buddy Dave Seymour with Real Estate Revealed is knocking at the door, ready to come in.
Well, have a good weekend.
All right. Take care. Yep. Bye-bye. Hey, it's getting close to 11 o'clock, and like I said, Dave Seymour, Real Estate Revealed, coming up next. I want to thank Anna from Green Energy Consumers. You can check out their website, learn more about electric cars, and learn about how much it costs. Like Frank's question, it was a good question, and learn more about that. And, you know, until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, be good to your car, and I guess keep using that hand sanitizer and wear a mask. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.